Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Well, you know, Pat, I was abiding and reading the Bible, and I came across a scripture, and one that I'm familiar with, and I'm sure you are too, but in Matthew 6, talking about, Jesus and him coming back to his hometown.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people have a hometown, and you go to Facebook, and people say this is where they live, but this is where they were born, or, mm-hmm. This is their hometown. And his hometown was Nazareth. And as I read the scriptures, I'm just amazed at how extremely popular Jesus was without trying to be popular.
Mm-hmm.
Today, so many people seem like they want to be popular, they want name, they want some sort of recognition, and Jesus was always saying, don't tell them what happened, don't tell them it was me, and yet people followed him everywhere he went.
Uh-huh.
There was large crowds. However, that wasn't the same situation in his own hometown. He went all across Israel, all across different cities and different towns, and many, many, many came by the droves to hear his teaching, to receive deliverance and healing, and they were very impacted by his ministry.
Mm-hmm.
Yet this town, this town of Nazareth, was a different scenario. And I think that we can learn a lot about Nazareth, and we can learn a lot about what Jesus was able to do and not able to do. But Mark mm-hmm. 6 says this, that Jesus left there and went to his hometown, accompanied by his disciples. And when the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who had heard him were amazed. This was a natural occurrence, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And where did this man get these things? They asked. What's this wisdom that's been given him that he even does miracles? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son? And the brothers of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us?
Mm.
And then the next verse of scripture says, and they took offense at him.
Wow.
I never read that particular verse before. I've read or don't remember it, rather.
Mm-hmm.
It's, and they took offense with Jesus now.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus said to them, only in his hometown among his relatives and in his own house is a prophet without honor.
Wow.
This is what Jesus said. Only in his hometown and among his relatives and in his own house is a prophet without honor. He could not do any miracles there except lay hands on a few sick people and heal them. And he was amazed, not at their faith, but at their lack of
mm-hmm.
faith.
Right.
Now, in one account, he tells the centurion, in all of Israel, I've never seen any faith like this.
Mm-hmm.
But in his hometown, Nazareth, he was amazed, but he was amazed for a different reason. He was amazed because they lacked faith. And I often wonder, how is it that we can so quickly lose perspective?
Mm.
It's like, really? The Bible, tells us that the student is not above his master. And if they treated Jesus this way, if they treated Jesus this way, why? Why would we expect anything different? At least the same, if not worse, right?
Right.
And so I believe we can learn a lot from this. We're living in a crucial season on earth and for the church. And the battles that lie ahead are serious. And basically, it necessitates that we live in a continual place of humility and honor towards all mankind, especially the family of believers.
Mm-hmm.
It's important that we get this on the inside of us, because what we're getting ready to face, listen, anything that's sticking up, that's now bowed over, is going to get chopped down.
Right.
You got to stay low.
Mm-hmm.
The place is lower still. When we come back from the break, we're going to continue to talk about this, because I believe that there are some key things that we can learn from these verses of Scripture that will help us not miss the move of God that God's getting ready to bring. And listen, we're believing for a third great awakening. Mm-hmm. Get ready. Get ready, because it is coming. The question is, are you going to be in it, and are you going to be touched by it when God touches your region, your city? Because we believe that this move of God is going to spread around the entire nation. Mm. But will you be in it? My goodness, Nazareth. Jesus was extremely popular throughout all of Israel, and great crowds came to visit Jesus and welcomed his ministry and received from his ministry. Thousands upon thousands, and he'd go from one place, and they'd get in a boat and go to another place. And when he mm-hmm. arrived in the boat, they were there. They were waiting for him.
All right.
And they were hungry to receive. They were ready to receive. Yet this one town, and of all places, the hometown, had a different approach and a different response. I mean, oftentimes you hear a message, and it's like, you know, there's 50 people, 100 people, 5 people, I don't know, 1,000 people. And it's like, you know, why did that one message, you know, affect 50 or 25 and these three didn't? Or it's like, was it the message? Was it what God had to say? Or was it the individual? You know what I mean? And so we're so quick, if our heart's not in the right place, to discredit the message and the messenger, then we are to look at our own heart.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they were doing. They were discrediting the message and the messenger without even looking at their own lives. And we can learn a lot from this. These people here in Nazareth, these folks right here, they had a recipe, a strategy for how not to welcome a move of God. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right.
This is what you do when you not welcome a move of God in your city, in your region, in your own personal life. They were prideful. They were critical. They were judgmental, and you know what? They were probably jealous and envious of Jesus. They were full of pride. They were looking for ways to discredit and find ways not to believe the amazing move of God before them. And it's like, really? I mean, it takes more effort to be critical and prideful.
Mm-hmm.
And to actually receive receive God and what He's trying to do, you know, what you allow Him to do in your life, because you know God is the Holy Spirit is a gentleman, and God's not going to force Himself upon you. You have to by choice invite God and make room for Him, and when you do that, God steps on in. But He stands at the door and knock. He doesn't stand at the door and walk in.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't kick the door down. He stands at the door of your heart and knocks, waiting for you to respond. And he'll knock. And the question is how long are you going to have him waiting? And, you know, the more, I look at this, they were more willing to defend what they knew, their doctrines, their beliefs, their little two verses of scriptures that they memorized, you know what I'm saying, the book that they read, you know.
Right.
Then, of course, you know, being able to receive. They were so tied and married to their biases that they couldn't receive what Jesus was doing in Nazareth.
Mm-hmm.
And mainly because it didn't fit their paradigm. It just did not fit their paradigm. They spoke judgments over him and his ministry, resulting in basically them losing the very blessing that was intended for them to receive. It's like, oh my goodness, you're messing this up. The blessing, the blesser is coming your way. Some on the side of the road would pound their chest and say, Son of David, have mercy on me. But you, as God is touching you and moving you and coming in your life, you're rejecting the prophetic word. You're rejecting the warning. You're seeing with warped vision the warning as some sort of chastisement or ridicule. No, listen, God's loving on you.
Mm-hmm.
The move of God is coming into your heart. But you know, you got to make room for it. You can't defend your position or what you think you know. And I've learned, you know, if I've learned anything through my own experiences with God and through what I've seen in the scriptures, that God moves in a way that I necessarily wouldn't move. He does things that I necessarily wouldn't have done. I mean, you know, if if it was me, you know, I just wouldn't have the Son of God be born in a manger. I mean, the Savior of the world, if you, and I just wouldn't have done that, you know?
He's so out of our box.
Isn't he?
I mean, he's just out there.
I mean, it's like, I would have done that.
All right.
But God had a plan. Mm-hmm. In his ways, the Bible says his ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. He lives in a paradigm and in a space that's completely outside of us. He's outside of our mind. He's outside of our thinking. He's outside of our judgments. And if you're trying to bring God down to into your mind, you're going to be frustrated. We have pea-shaped minds. I know I do. And the biggest struggles I've ever had is trying to get a God, you know, my paradigm of God wrestled down to my little stinking thinking. Mm-hmm. Well, we need to accept the fact that God lives outside of our ability to figure him out. And quite honestly, I don't want to serve a God that I can figure out. Mm-hmm. How big is that God?
Not very.
Not big, because I mean, my brain's really small, you know?
Yeah, we know.
Hey,
look,
I'll be the first one to tell you. You got to check out the hat. So I wouldn't have had the Son of God be born in the manger. But hey, what do I know, right? Or the 12 disciples Jesus selected? I mean, really? We probably would be like, Jesus, we need to be on your disciple selection committee. We need to help you out in this, okay, Lord? I mean, we're talking about 12 future apostles here. I mean, listen, this is serious business. Certainly, there are some resumes we need to collect. We need to review their education. Where did they study? Are they under some sort of great teacher? I mean, obviously, we're looking for some really 12 important, and there's only 12. We only have room for, there's not 1,000 disciples. Jesus was, you know, there's 12 disciples. Mm-hmm. Future apostles, Pat. Yeah. And we would have had some, I mean, serious, you know, let's get a talent search out, you know. And we probably wouldn't have selected tax collectors. And I would probably say that, you know, simple fishermen wouldn't have been on the top of my selection committee. I probably would not have done that. And see, that's the difference. Many today are operating totally out of their heads when it comes to the things of God. It's all outside of your head. It's all outside of trying to figure God out and what you would do instead of what would Jesus do. Mm-hmm. And we look at what Jesus did. He didn't collect the resumes. He didn't put a selection committee for the future apostles and talent search out. He prayed to the Father, and he inquired and sought out the will of the Father. And after he spent time with the Lord, after he spent time with God, the Father, he knew what he was supposed to do. Listen, we got to get out of our minds. We got to start trying to, you know, boil God down to what we can figure out and what we think and our biases and say, listen, we want to do it God's way. That we were talking about how Jesus, who touched people all over Israel, mm-hmm. and how people came in droves to hear him and be ministered by him and receive of his ministry, and they were amazed by the things that Jesus did. And he was extremely popular, even though Jesus wasn't trying to be popular, not like some today. He wasn't even trying to be, he was just trying to be, oh, he was being obedient. Mm-hmm. He wasn't trying, he was obedient to the Father. Yet in this one town, this one city, his hometown no less, he couldn't do any miracles. Just lay a couple hands on folks, because they were judgmental, they were critical of him. And you know, we before we took our break, we talked about, at the end of that program, we talked about how, you know, God's ways are above our ways. And I said that if, you know, there's a lot of things that I see in the scriptures that if it was me, I would have done differently. Mm-hmm. You know, that the more I experience God and the more that I see in scripture that God totally operates outside of my paradigm, you know, what I would have thought to do. You know, one was, you know, Jesus being born in a manger, I would have selected a different place. But, you know, God knows. I would have selected different disciples. I wouldn't have selected the disciples that Jesus selected. I mean, 12. One time I remember sharing a message, Jesus and the Dirty Dozen, you know, I was like, these guys are like, oh my goodness. You know, Thank God, you know. But we would have had a resume committee, and we would have selected some of the most learned people.
Mm-hmm.
But God operates outside of that. You know, Jesus went to the Father in prayer, and he did nothing and said nothing that he didn't, you know, see his Father doing.
Mm-hmm.
He was completely united with the Father. And you look at that and you say, wow, you know. And I think the big reason why people have frustration, believers have frustration, is because they're trying to do the things of God in their own head. They're not doing it with the heart of God. They're not understanding that you're not going to come to God in your head. It's just not mm-hmm. going to happen. You know what I mean? You're not going to come to God in your head. You're going to come to him with your heart. And today when we think about Nazareth, there's two things that come to mind immediately when I think about Nazareth. One, the place that Jesus came from was the hometown.
Mm-hmm.
And second is the place and the city that rejected Jesus.
Mm.
I mean, think about that as your, you know, biography, if you will. Think about that of your story.
Right.
Where Jesus was born and the same place that rejected him. And I mean, like, wow, you mean like the place, you know, that place of pride and critical and judging and familiar spirit?
Yeah, that's where he grew up, actually.
Where he grew up. And this place that missed the move of God.
Mm-hmm.
It missed the move of God that was headed their way. And many believers say today that they want a move of God in their life. But are they really ready to do what they have to do to receive one? When saying something is a whole lot different than actually doing something.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about the Pharisees. They knew, right, the word of God at the time. They knew the law. They had it all down. They were looking for the Messiah, and the Messiah shows up, and they missed God right in their face. They missed it.
Mm-hmm.
And you would think, my goodness, if anybody would know it, maybe, you know, but they missed it.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is that if you want a move of God in your life, you must be willing to do what you need to do in order to receive it. You have to prepare your heart, and you have to make war with pride and embrace humility. Because God resists the proud,
right.
But he gives grace to the humble. And humility is not throwing off what you know. It's saying you're just not serving what you know. You're
right.
Open to say, this is the little bit I know, but I'm not going to make, you know, I'm not going to anchor on this. I'm going to anchor on God, and he can change anything at any time. You know, God, you can do. Humility says, God, you can do whatever you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
It says, you know, you can say, God, whatever you want to say. Humility says you can use whoever you want to use. And the thing is, I you know, I just don't want to miss your touch. I don't want to, you know, we don't want to miss God's move. And you don't want to put your mouth on what God's doing. You don't want to speak against what God is doing. The church has had a history at different times, at different moves of God, at speaking against what God was doing. It's like, you know, what God was doing in one generation would be speaking about the new thing that God was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember during the rounds of revival, there was these different manifestations that were happening. And when the power of God comes, you know what I'm saying? Your body's going to act differently.
Mm-hmm.
And there was some a woman that her neck, she was in the choir, and her neck would shake all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so people that were, you know, attacked maybe with, you know, with a critical spirit or something, they were making a big thing about it and got in the news, actually, just this person's faking it or what's happening and all of this type of stuff. And why does she have to shake her head that way? And because it was obvious, like she had some sort of medical condition. It was that obvious. And she's up in the choir, and it didn't fit their paradigm. Someone who's singing worship songs to the Lord is not going to act like that. They're not going to shake their head like that. And she had long hair, and her hair was flapping, and they were just speaking out against it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one day, Brother Kilpatrick pulls this woman, you know, from the choir, and gives her testimony. And this woman was in a car accident years ago, and her neck, she was not able to move her neck at all.
Wow.
I mean, she had a stiff neck condition. I don't know what it was.
Yeah.
But she didn't have the fluidity and the movement of her neck. And when God touched her, During the Brownsville revival, he healed her in such a way that her neck, man, bobbled all over the place.
And this like is a bobblehead.
Like a bobblehead. See, this is what God's going to do.
Yeah.
But if you're going to speak about what God is doing, you're going to get critical and you're going to start judging, you're going to miss it. You're going to miss it. The reality is that not everybody in Jesus' time got touched. That's a reality. Mm-hmm. He kept going. And there were some that recognized that Jesus was on the way, and they were desperate, and they were beating their chest and said, "Son of David, have mercy." Said, "No, be quiet. No, you don't understand. Jesus is here. And I'm telling you that a move of God is coming. And don't be used. Don't take the bait. Don't take the bait. Don't be used." You know, I heard of an account where a minister out in California, there was a move of God going on over there, and 1,000 people left their fellowship before the move of God came and totally missed it.
Mm.
1,000 people, and they missed it. But it seemed like they made room for the countless other thousands that came in that huge wave.
Mm.
Let me tell you something. God doesn't have to have us. You know, he doesn't have to have us, and we need to know that going forward so we can prepare ourselves and say, "God, have your way and do what you want to do." And we don't want to mess it up. He doesn't need our permission or our theology on God. Okay? He doesn't need our theology. Because God's going to do what he wants to do. We just have to get out of his way. We just have to get out of the way. Listen, the third great awakening is coming. God wants to pour out his spirit on the land. People are getting their hearts ready. We're lining ourselves up and saying, "God, we repent. We're searching our hearts. We're getting our lives in order." I want to encourage you, get your life in order. When God comes in and sweeps in, listen, the only thing to do is to bow down, humble yourself, and say, "God, here I am. Here I am. Do what you want." You know, and make war on pride. Don't be familiar with the things of God. Don't be familiar with the ones that people are that God's going to be using. God's going to use a wide variety of people in his body.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have judgments in your heart, if you're critical, if you have all those things going on, you're going to criticize what God wants to do, you know, and you're going to miss it. Nazareth missed it. The scriptures say it was his hometown,
mm-hmm.
and they missed it. And two things comes to people's mind when you think of Nazareth. It's like, wow, come on, let's not miss what God's going to do. I want to be ready in that season, and I want to say, "Here I am, Lord." I want to jump all in.
Amen.
I don't know if you know this or not, but you can now see us on Christian Television Network, which has a potential audience reach of over 500 million viewers all around the world. It's amazing. One of our key audiences, too, as well, we want to welcome our new audience on WHBR all the way from Destin, Florida, to Mississippi, over 500,000 households all around the world. It is amazing. Make sure, if you have not yet, you can find out the viewing times in your area. You can ask your local television station if we're not yet on there. Say, "You want VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program." You can find out more and viewing times in your area at VFNTV.com. Yes, we're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on the radio, live Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central Time. But now, thanks to Christian Television Network, you can see us all around the world.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio Program in its entirety at VFNTV.com. Or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.
Did you know that VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program is made possible by those who partner with us and our sponsors and our underwriters? If you have not yet, you've got to go to VFNTV.com and visit them. Find out who is sponsoring, who is partnering, who is standing with VFN Radio, and become a sponsor yourself. Become a partner yourself. Listen, we stand for three pillars we believe. Without these three pillars, we won't even be here as a country anymore. That's for God and country, in that order, and Israel. If you want to take a stand, if you want to do something about what's taking place, now's your time. Partner today or become a sponsor or underwriter and visit our sponsors and underwriters, and tell them you are thankful that they're standing up for God and country in that order and Israel as we stand with the broadcast 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. Find out more at VFNTV.com.